Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 24. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Guys, what is going on?
Oh my gosh, having a great evening.
We are.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging
having
out.
Having bro night.
Bro night. I like
it. Had a great interview / guest chat and now a couple minis under our belt. So.
It just keeps getting better, huh?
Oh my gosh. Do work.
Yep. Gotta work.
That's right. We're wearing out the mics tonight. So, yeah. So we've got middle age number 24. What do we got, Sean?
2-4. We are jumping in with both feet, right? Ed Gein. Is that name ring a bell?
I think maybe a lot of the creepies would know that name.
Oh, my gosh.
Some wouldn't.
If they don't, they're going to learn a lot.
You're going to learn a lot
in a very short amount of time, yeah.
Yeah.
We have to preface it with this is probably going to be one of our more disgusting talks.
Yep.
Yeah, disclaimer.
Oh,
yeah.
It is.
And this is Nate's pick.
We can blame Nate, but in a good way.
I always pick these crazy people.
Kind of when he well, if I'd ask, I'm like, hey, you know, what's the mini going to be about? And you said Ed Gein. I go, yeah. There's
a lot. Got that look.
And we were talking about like, we should have done this as a full. But I was like, oh well.
You look up creepy in the dictionary, and Ed's face right there.
Yeah,
you're smiling. I'm throwing up in the corner.
Or is it his face?
It's true. Ooh. Could be somebody else's, or two or three meshed together.
Could be.
Well, we can set it up with Ed Gein was the inspiration for 3 well-known horror movies. Leatherface.
Yep.
Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. Psycho.
Norman Bates.
And the third was
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
Buffalo
yes.
Bill,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are 3 classics
from
this Psycho that we're going to talk about. Yeah.
That's the hardest thing. When you hear about those movies having, like, based on, you know, true evidence or true events, it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
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 They embellish on it a little bit.
Oh, they do.
You know, Hollywood movie magic. But
this guy put him to shame.
Well, and they had to spin their story.
Yeah, yeah.
But coming
from
this
guy. He's the inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Real life dude. Yep.
So, Edward Theodore Gein. August 27th,
1906. Oh, Ed Ted. We call him Ed Ted.
Ed Ted.
Yeah.
Ed Tedgy. August 27th. We always got to come up with some kind of name for somebody, right? August 27th, 1906 to July 26, 1984, also known as the Butcher of Plainfield, not Indiana Plainfield where we're from.
Correct.
Or the Plainfield Ghoul, again, not our Plainfield, was an American, we got to throw that in there, serial killer and body snatcher. Ooh, like that, right? Gein's crimes committed around his hometown of Plainfield, Wisconsin, gathered widespread notoriety in 1957 after authorities discovered he had exhumed corpses from local graveyards and fashioned trophies and keepsakes from their bones and skin. Gein also confessed to killing 2 women, tavern owner Mary Hogan in 1954 and hardware store owner Bernice Warden in 1957. And if you look at his picture, he looks like he's all there. I don't know what you're talking about.
He looks like a normal guy.
Yeah. Ted doesn't look weird. Yeah. He looks a little like...
He looks a little lost.
Looks maybe he was, the bottom
more, he was more than lost, right?
Yeah.
Well, he admitted to those 2 murders, I suppose. But when he was younger, him and his brother were working out in the fields in the marshland, burning the vegetation and stuff down. The fire got out of control, so the fire department was called. And next thing I know, his brother had disappeared. They couldn't find him. Well, they
That's
found
Henry.
Him
Henry
face down in the marsh, dead. They investigated it, found that everybody assumed that he died in the fire, but he was dead and laying there before the fire started or went out of control.
Yeah, it looked like he'd been hit over the head, right?
Head traumas and that kind of stuff.
That doesn't happen in a fire.
No.
You sure?
But yeah.
Come on.
But there wasn't enough evidence, so they couldn't really pin it. Everybody knew it was probably Ed that did it, but they couldn't pin it on him.
Mm-hmm. I pin it on him.
And so, yeah. So it went down as an accident.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. We were talking about these boys. So Augusta was his mom, mm-hmm. their mom. And she, how do we say it? Wackadoo? Would that be saying it right?
The only people that she cared about in her life were her two sons.
Yeah. Hated men.
Hated
her husband.
Sheltered them big time.
Her husband was an alcoholic, so he's, by all counts, was out of the picture, wasn't a mm-hmm. provider. And so she had to do all of the protecting. And she was a God-fearing woman, but she was what we called, we said this before the recording, a religious zealot, somebody that took
there was
it
God-fearing
way,
and there was
to,
she,
way
she
to
did
the
it
extreme.
The way, yeah.
She taught her, I don't know if she taught Henry this way or not, but at least Ed got out of it, that everybody was evil and going to hell and basically needed to
stay
be...
Stay away from women.
Exterminate them, you know, basically that kind of idea.
Yeah, and she wouldn't let him play with any
no
kids.
No friends.
No friends over, no mm-hmm. no going to any... It was just basically go to school, come home.
Work on the farm.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
No social life, and so that kind of messes you up already if you're not having any... contact with friends. I mean, you know, just
but the strangest thing
being
is
a kid type stuff.
As much as he didn't have friends, and that's probably what played into this, is that he was a babysitter. Like he was well known as he got older.
And
one of the things he did.
So he did a good job.
Yeah, he did a good job of
good
it
with kids.
Except for the kids would say, "Yeah, it's all shrunken heads and this body part and whatever." Like, oh, they're just being silly, you know.
Yeah,
kids
they
would,
dismissed it. Right.
The parents would say, "Oh, you know, just that's your overactive imagination."
Right.
And by God, they were right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
were.
Yeah, can you? I find that it's morbidly interesting and funny. But like, what was it? Sweet tea.
Yeah, that's right. You're sweet. My microphone.
Your sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
It's just weird that he was a good babysitter.
I know. Yeah.
But it's kind of, and I don't want to, no offense against Michael Jackson, but it's like, it's almost like, I didn't get my childhood, so I'm good with kids and I'm going to get it back somehow. It's like, at least he, you know, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know.
That's, yeah. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Just that his mom finally passed away too, shortly after his brother was found deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And he renovated the house.
Yeah.
But not in a normal renovation. He blocked off.
What do you
mean? What could you possibly mean?
He blocked off all of the rooms, more or less, like his mother's room, his brother's room. And
which
I think,
was sacred. The mother's room was sacred.
So, then. Like, everything in those rooms were pristine. Mm-hmm. And then, basically, all he lived in was, like, a back bedroom.
A dump.
And the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And the pictures I've seen, it's sort of like a hoarder.
Yeah.
It was, he did not care about cleaning up.
Right.
It was very nasty.
Right.
And unkept.
Well, and his brother, Henry... you know, it's like Ed worshipped her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Henry started seeing, like, wait a minute, this isn't, you know, he started seeing her different. Hence, I think that's, or we think that's why.
Yeah. Ed probably talking him. About saying something to the authorities or, you know, doing something.
And just bad mouthing their mom.
Yeah.
And Ed was
or that,
very protective. Yeah. And took him out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he did. He renovated the house, and yeah, not such a
not a good renovation.
Not a good renovation, and it just got worse.
Yeah, I like how his occupation. It says numerous unspecified jobs. Interesting.
Yeah.
Babysitter being one of them. His name's is funny. We talk about some of these.
Wonder what he charged.
Oh.
Arm and a leg.
An arm and a leg.
I had to go there.
And we should just end on that, right? He was the butcher of Plainfield. The Plainfield butcher. The Plainfield ghoul. The mad butcher and Eddie.
Eddie.
That's what it says. Other names was Eddie.
Eddie.
Like, really?
At least so no Ed Ted?
No Ed Ted,
Eddie,
but
Teddy.
Now it is. Yep.
But while he had his little man cave, if you will, he got very interested in death cult magazines and Nazi cannibal adventure stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who hasn't?
I mean,
yeah.
Come on, people.
He mostly just kept kidding. To himself. He was
a recluse.
Yeah. But then one of the murders that he was charged with was November 1957.
Mm-hmm.
The local hardware store owner, Bernice mm-hmm. Warden. And he called and said that he needed to pick up some antifreeze and he'd be there the next day or something like that. And her son came to check on her because he hadn't heard from her. She didn't show up for work and couldn't find her.
Yeah.
found that he was the last person to talk to her, and that he did come in and get antifreeze.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the last, you know, cash register
the receipt.
Purchase.
Salt, yep.
He was a sloppy criminal.
So the police was like, huh, let's go pay a visit to Ed. Yeah, and they walked into a horrific...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They said that some of the police officers that and the detectives that came to look into his home and confiscate things, they said that they were psychologically never the same. Like, when they were like, what in world is happening here? They said, I know he was... We're talking about him being a body snatcher. He went and basically robbed graves, you know, fresh graves.
Yeah, and he admitted it to it.
Yeah, he said that the span that he felt like that he was grave robbing was basically 1947 to 1952. And I know it says that his span of crimes was 1954 to 1957. So it's like, And like I said, and I'm sure old Eddie was probably not necessarily a great historian. He could have been a poor historian, so who knows exactly the details. I think it's interesting that when he was, there's definitely two murders that he is, you know, was tried for. And they say him being considered a serial killer, you'd normally have to have killed at least three people.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that the judge said it is very likely that so many people in the missing persons lists and all the different body parts he had.
Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to the body parts.
Well, and a lot of it comes from the graves that he robbed. And he had a fascination, especially for old dead women. That was one of his things. He was definitely a necrophiliac.
Mm-hmm.
He liked dead bodies. He says he never had any relations with them because they smelled
bad. Yeah.
But one would wonder. And then he also went into cannibalism as well, they say.
Mm-hmm. The hardware owner, Beatrice, they said they found her hanging by the sink with the heart hanging, decapitated, and then gutted.
Yeah.
Like, hanging there, like he was going to slice it up and have some sandwiches.
She was... hung upside down by her legs with a crossbar at her ankles and ropes at her wrists. The torso was dressed out like a deer. She had been shot with a .22 caliber rifle, and the mutilations were made after her death. Yeah. And then Mary Hogan was the tavern owner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's the other one that he killed in 1964.
The worst part about this that links is that they say, like his neighbor said, he gave us meat, and we would eat it. And so you don't, I mean, think about it, guys. It's like, that's disgusting.
Good chance.
Yeah. So he turned other people into cannibals with
unknowing.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
Ugh, that is disgusting.
Yeah. He had skulls impaled on his bedpost.
Yeah.
Do you want to read a few of these things?
Yeah.
Take a few, Sean.
I was going to say he made clothes, furniture.
They have a whole list.
Lamps.
Oh, yeah.
Skull mugs.
Waste baskets
made of human skin.
Yeah.
Whole human bones and fragments. And said. One of you guys said skulls on the bedpost, female skulls, some with tops sawn off.
Oh, yeah.
Bowls made from human skulls. Ooh, I don't think I'd eat my cereal out.
No. What the heck? Yeah.
Leggings made of human leg skin.
A corset.
Masks.
Yeah, masks. What was that from, Nate? From a
Texas.
The skin of female heads. Mask.
Yeah. Oh, was his prized...
I don't know if it's prized, but it's one of the more unusual. The belt made of nipples.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
He was working on a
suit. It's so bizarre, I'm laughing.
He was working on a suit, a female suit, that he supposedly he
this
would...
This is how demented he is.
He would put the suit on, and they said that he would go out in the garden, run around, especially on full moons, and wear it with great pride and great... It just, I don't know.
He wanted to feel like he was inside his mother.
Right.
He'd wear the suit.
That's how whacked out this dude was. Here's said a corset was made from a female torso, skin from shoulders to waist. Bernice Warden's entire head in a burlap sack.
Lampshade made of human faces.
Yeah, that one.
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
Because it's just all meshed. It's like sewn together. It's like a tapestry.
You wanted something like that here for the podcast studio, right?
Yeah, I wanted to replace this boring one that Nate's got. I mean, it doesn't have any faces sewn together. Good grief, man. This is, you know, no.
Issa Gein was initially found unfit to stand trial and confined to a mental health facility. By 1968, he was judged competent to stand trial. He was found guilty of the murder of Warden, but was also found legally insane and was remanded to a psychiatric institution. He died at Mendota Mental Health Institute of Respiratory Failure, and that was in July 26, 84, at age 77. Buried next to his family in the Plainfield Cemetery, in a now unmarked grave. He's next to his mother and his brother, supposedly. That's gross.
Mm.
Sorry, it just is.
He was, I believe, diagnosed with schizophrenia. You think?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I wonder why they thought that.
He
what conclusion would...
Well, we talked about him being so closely linked to Psycho, Silence of the Lambs, so the Buffalo Bill, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, all that good stuff. But the Psycho, they said, was he was most closely connected with Norman
the
Bates.
Son relationship.
Yeah. And that whole Oedipus complex, which is Oedipus complex, his emotions aroused in young child, typically around the age of 4, by an unconscious sexual desire for the parent of the opposite sex. He obviously was the epitome of the Oedipus complex, so... Yuck.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I know we've reading this list off, but this one is another one that really gets to me. The pair of lips on a window shade drawstring.
Yes, yes.
That is...
Well, then he...
It is so wacky.
He collected...
You would say that.
I'm trying to say this delicate. Lee, he collected the female mommy parts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, right.
Man. Yeah, right.
Yeah. It says these artifacts were photographed at the state crime laboratory and then decently disposed of. So.
Can you imagine being the police officer taking inventory in there? It says here.
One pair of lips.
Found various dismembered body parts, including fingernails, 4 noses... going through it. Well, I marked out and there's 4
noses.
Yeah, I found 4 noses over here. Yeah.
1 pair of lips. Check. 4 noses. Check.
Seriously, all I want for
crazy.
Christmas.
Crazy.
Yeah. And there's pictures online.
He admitted to having 40 trips, nocturnal trips to the graveyards to dig up the dead bodies. And I think they said...
it's 40 too many.
Yeah. Yeah. Between, 47 and 1952. So, yeah. I think he would find out who had just died. You know, he looked in the obituaries.
Yeah.
Then he would know.
They said that if he didn't... Like, he'd collect what he wanted off of the body, and then he'd return. They found...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They found fiddles and all sorts of stuff.
Things he didn't need, body parts he didn't want. He'd return them. So. Well... He was a self-conscious schizophrenic kind of guy.
I mean, he wasn't that crazy.
Yeah, because there's pictures.
There's madness in those eyes, right?
Yeah. Just the poor guy didn't have a chance. I'm not saying...
Yeah, because this says here, Trooper Dave Sharkey looks over some of the musical instruments found in the home of Edward Gein, 51, suspect grave robber and murderer. Also found in the house were human skulls, heads, death masks... and the newly butchered corpse of the neighboring woman.
That's so gross.
Yeah, he'd steal stuff out of the graves and keep them as keepsakes or whatever he thought they were.
I think the most disturbing part of this is that the police officer had to come and detectives and all that had to like look through his stuff, which was awful. And they said the worst part of it is when he was very open, like as they kept him in custody and talked to him, he would just relate these things like, he was talking about what he had for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No big deal. Like, just very nonchalant. Not like he had done something wrong. Like, he just totally, like, within the norm of any human being. Like, let me tell you about this. And they said that what he seemed to report that he got the most joy from was sort of skinning a woman especially, but taking the skin off the face and all. It's just, ugh. You know, just like a hunter, you know, oh, my kill and I'm going to skin it and I love it. Yeah. That's a little, you know, it's somewhat a little disturbing too sometimes. But, you know, like a human being though, that's going over so many taboos that you just can't even fathom. But again, I know he's mentally unstable, but still.
Fashioning suits of skin and all that. I mean, you got to sew it all together. It's a lot of meticulous work. Yeah. So, I mean, he had to have had enjoyment in it. I mean, why else would he do it, you know?
I know. It's sick.
Straight.
Do we believe what his famous crazy. Last words were? Who wants to say his last words?
Well, I didn't see that part.
Oh, you didn't?
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
His famous last words are, "I really dig old dead women." Do you really think that was his last words? I mean,
yeah.
Probably out of all
probably.
The things. Yep. I mean,
literally.
It's true. Yeah, he really did dig. pun intended.
His,
it's not that punny, though.
His house was, they were going to do an auction. Possessions were scheduled to be auctioned on March 30th, 1958, amidst rumors that the house and the land it stood on might become a tourist attraction. Early on the morning of March 20th, the house was destroyed by a fire. So the deputy fire marshal reported that a garbage fire had been set 75 feet from the house by a cleaning crew who were given the task of disposing of refuse. That hot coals were recovered from the spot of the bonfire, but that the fire did not spread along the ground from the location to the house. Arson was suspected, but the cause of the fire was never officially determined. It is possible that the fire was not considered a matter of urgency by Fire Chief Frank Warden, son of Bernice Warden, Gein's last victim. So that's, yeah.
I think it was probably a good thing that it burned.
Well, then it said, when Gein learned of the incident while in detention, he shrugged and said, just as well.
Yeah.
So that was his reaction to the house being burned down.
He's not wrong. I still think the skin leggings and the skin, the gloves made of human hands are... It's just, if you look through the pictures.
The lips for the pull string.
Can you imagine being his cellmate?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine being his cellmate?
Oh, man.
Oh, and he would tell you his whole story. Just very nonchalantly and matter-of-factly. Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine him having
the
like
lamps
an Etsy
with human
shop?
Hair?
I mean, you'd be
some noses? Oh,
you'd be bunkmates with him, and you'd be like, Why you look so horrible? I was like, I haven't slept since I've been in there with him.
I got past some of his.
But you know what?
That's awful.
He probably had nothing. I mean, it was all about the necrophilia.
Yeah,
digging I mean, I don't think
he would be harmless to us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that weird, though, how a brain can do that? Where, you know, it's like, well, it's like a serial
There's
color.
Right and wrong, but it's broke.
Yeah, but it's,
I'm not sure which is more disturbing. I was going through all the pictures of his actual stuff, and then you go far enough, you start seeing it's not his stuff. It's inspired by him. And, of course, it's like, but there was this lamp. I was like, oh, my God, did he really do that? But it has like what's supposed to be human skin and then hair. And I was like, oh.
Right.
And it says Ed Gein inspired lamps. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Teeth and eyelids. And
there's action figures. There's an Ed Gein action figure.
Nice. Oh, great.
What in the world?
Get Elijah one for Christmas. Here's an Ed Gein action figure.
Ed Gein hat.
Nice. You know what? I'll have to wear that.
Flesh-sewn hat.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I want that for Christmas. I'm going
to. That's just bad taste.
Bad smell, bad taste. Bad look, bad.
It does. It gets so disgusting and so grotesque, but.
But hey, you know what?
If he gave us something to talk about,
three great movies, then well, he probably would have. As far as when did he die, guys? I can't remember. 84. So
he's an old man. 77.
So definitely could not. Well, he was. That was 10 years after the Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah,
And that was about 7 years before, 7 or 8 years before
Silence of the
Lambs. Then he would have been around, obviously, for Oh man, so he's got something going for him, inspiration. Very inspiring guy.
Like,
very inspiring guy.
Be forewarned.
Do you think they watched that?
What is
it? In jail? And he sat there and he's like, hey, Psycho. I had one of those.
I don't know that he would probably.
No, Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Leatherface shows up. He's like, I had one of those.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I got to get to know this guy.
He missed a stitch, right? He should have.
Yeah, he critiquing
a little tighter.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have realized.
I wonder if he watched Psycho, too. Like, that
was
a
problem.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's probably like watching cartoons to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but go looking at these pictures with caution.
Yeah.
They're gnarly.
Not for the faint of heart, yeah.
They're gnarly, yeah.
They are.
Check them out, though, listeners. Creepies. You'll be creeped out.
Yeah, you'll be creeped
You'll be glad
out.
You did.
This guy.
Maniacal
laugh.
But
you know what? Let's take all that. What a sad childhood.
It is.
I mean, I'm not saying that.
But did he know any different?
No, I know.
Yeah, I mean, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, so there's mental.
Yeah.
I blame the mother.
No.
I really do blame the mother.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, that didn't help.
No, it couldn't have.
And like you always say, I mean, a bad childhood doesn't always make you turn out to be a serial killer or rapist or a this and that.
No, I'm sure he had
what a terrible.
He had all the makings of this horrible stuff, and it just, these things got triggered, just compounds I'm sure. But it's just.
Yeah. Well, and it's beyond brother.
It's beyond despicable, disgusting, and abhorrent, but it's it's fascinating, that's for sure.
You have issues, but you have a couple people in your life sort of guiding you, per se, I guess, and then they both die and go away, and you're left on your own with these issues.
It's all on you,
Yeah.
It's amazing that he got away with it as long as he did. That's probably what's most amazing.
Well, he's reclusive. About 7 years. Nobody knew.
And then, like I said, they don't even know how many murders truly are linked to him. Yeah.
You know, I thought about that, and I don't know if he. I'm not saying he didn't.
Right. I just said there was a lot of missing persons around there that they still couldn't figure out that they.
Well, I mean, it's just like H.H. Holmes. I mean, I think they only convicted him of like two murders, but they're saying it's in the hundreds.
It could be up to 200.
Right. Yeah, they're like 279, 100, 200.
So we know
maybe
the
more.
We know that the tavern owner and the
we know
hardware
two
store
confirmed. Yep.
Probably his brother.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought about, like, did he kill the other people? That
well, that's what, I don't know. Again, that's what was funny. The judge at his trial said two confirmed, but they still considered him a serial killer because the judge felt like it was easily more than three.
Yeah. And see, I don't think he, I mean, I'm not saying
maybe you're
if
right.
he did, he, then he's a serial killer. But until then, I've never looked at him as a serial killer. Just a wackadoo gravedigger that sewed
cannibal.
Cannibal made nipple belts.
Yeah. It's in fashion.
Sorry, I had to say.
Is it weird that just made me think of Cocoa Puffs? Fruity Pebbles. Cheerios. No, I'm sorry. Not that kind of cereal, people, right?
No, yeah.
This should not make you
hungry.
So
when I eat my
this
cereal
should not
tonight,
make you hungry,
which is
you'll be a cereal killer.
Yeah.
You'll be a... Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was
Toucan Sam.
That was really good.
Sorry, Sam. No, I'm thinking about like eating my cereal.
It's a wrap, by the way.
When you make bowls out of the bones and skulls.
Yeah,
and
skulls.
That's too far. It's too far, man.
Spoons and forks.
Too far.
What do you think? I don't know. I don't have any more on Ted.
I think we hit everything.
what were the Plainfield Ghoul, the Butcher of Plainfield,
Eddie,
and what was the other one?
They just flipped them around. I can't remember.
Eddie, I think that's Eddie. Okay.
Is that where Iron Maiden got their mascot?
Where was it? It's the Butcher of Plainfield, the Plainfield Butcher. The Plainfield
Ghoul.
Plainfield
Butcher.
The Mad Butcher.
Mad Butcher, okay.
So there's a couple. And simply put, Eddie.
Eddie.
Just Eddie.
Yeah.
That's weird,
I like it, Ted. So.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else on old Ed Gein?
No, we're going to step away from him very carefully. not getting our backs to him.
I do want that baseball cap though.
Oh, it's yours.
Just kidding.
It is all yours.
Nate, take us out of here, man. Please.
I don't think we have anything else to gain from this one. So.
Oh, I like it a lot.
That's a wrap.
Boom. Nails it again.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, that's right. Even Ed would love that one.
He would. Yeah.
Well, hey, creepies. I hope you enjoyed mini number 24 on old Ed Gein, and that's all we got. We'll see you
later.
See you.